This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Just afternoon, Grant and Danny welcoming you back, 106.7 The Fan. We go blitzing every day at this time, take you around town, teams that you care the most about, get some inside scoop. So let's do it right now on the gridiron. Chris Russell, one of our Redskins insiders, old Slasherini, bought some new tennis shoes in case he had to go for a walk recently. I hope you kept the receipt, Rooster. You are not walking.
The only walking you're doing is that victory lap you're taking.
Exactly. I'm sorry to ruin everybody's fun. I'm sorry to be a big letdown to everyone. But I just want to say, and I want to thank publicly my Redskins for delivering the sixth win of the year, because you guys know how big of a supporter I am of the franchise. I believe in Bruce Allen wholeheartedly. I am a big, big, big fan of the way Bruce Allen has run things here over the last 8+ years. I just want to thank them personally on your show for delivering me from having to do that 32-mile walk in the middle of January, proudly waving a team flag, by the way.
Is there any chance if we could get a charity sponsor that you would take the walk anyway?
No. I would
for
do
charity,
that.
Rainey. For charity,
I would do that walk that we talked about from what was it? The work parking lot down to Nationals Park and the center field gate. If Bruce got fired, I would do that. I mean, and I would do that.
So we've got a new one. So that if Bruce is out within a week of the end of the season, you will lead a parade down Half Street
absolutely
with your face painted burgundy and gold.
Oh, I would proudly do that. There's no doubt, because that's not a bet that A, sucks, and B, that I would take great joy and pride in that.
We got a new one.
We got a commitment.
The Rooster Parade.
Let's go, Rooster Parade. But let's do this here, everybody, in all sincerity. What did that win mean? Because it wasn't terribly inspiring. Yeah. A group that was 1-for-9 on third down, that only had one drive perhaps that was worth it. A defense that couldn't really stop Arizona. Blaine Gabbert stopped Arizona. What do you take away from that game? Let me do a big picture. What did that W mean?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it doesn't mean, big picture much, other than it kind of validates that the season it hasn't completely gone off the rails, okay? And for Jay Gruden and those players to at least come out with a fast start, and I understand the offense was lacking outside of the two touchdown drives, and one was pretty much a gift. I understand that the defense was going against somebody who's terrible at his position. I got that. But it does validate all the work and effort and energy you put in on a week-by-week basis. And again, it prevents at least for 1 week from everybody going, oh, man, if they finish 0-3, Jay Gruden and his staff are getting fired. And, here's the bottom line. Even if they did finish 0-3, Jay Gruden and his staff shouldn't have been fired. Now, changes would have been made, but I'm talking about a complete blow-up should not have happened. The problem is nobody trusts the people that are making these kind of decisions to avoid doing that out of whatever reason that they have. So I think, emphasis on think, the one win here at least buys Jay Gruden another year to kind of change and turn this thing around and hopefully get healthier and hopefully supplement the roster. That's how I approach it. 2 weeks left to go in the regular season.
I actually like the young trio that is Jonathan Allen, a healthy Matt Ioannidis starter next year, and Anthony Lanier.
Yeah.
As a little bit of a core to build the D-line around, add another top-round pick perhaps. That could be a good group next year.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, we talked about Preston Smith obviously having a big game yesterday. He delivered. If he can be more consistent, and I think, Grant, as you pointed out yesterday on the postgame show with me, you know, they kind of feed simultaneously off each other in terms of Allen being out, and obviously Ioannidis was banged up. There's no doubt that this team has, you know, some good parts and some good parts of the nucleus. And we all know that when healthy, they can be a lot better than they have been. The problem is every team gets banged up. Every team gets injuries, so they have to continue to get more depth. The other big problem is obviously, you know, of course, we still don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position. So if you're dealing with a new quarterback next year, for whatever reason, there's going to be that storyline to watch, and then you have to hope that the defense can carry the way at least early on in the season until whatever the new quarterback is gets their feet wet.
Russell, what did you see defensively that we're kind of talking about building blocks for next year. Lanier's done this twice now, where he's had games where he's dominant. Not great numbers against Seattle, but I thought he was excellent against a bad offensive line. There's a minimum threshold. If you can beat bad opponents, that's good. I'm not putting it as a negative, but is there a next step in his growth that he can do that sometimes against, say, Philadelphia or like a Dallas, an offensive line that's really good? What do you see there from him and maybe some of the other guys like Preston Smith who had a wild game as well?
Yeah, sure. No doubt about it. I mean, it's all about consistency at this level, right? I mean, that's the number one thing. You identify a player who has some raw potential and some tools in terms of Lanier. They asked him to bulk up. They asked him to get stronger so we wouldn't get pinged around so much interior-wise against the run. So he's done that. He's added muscle. He's got, obviously, the requisite pass rushing skills that you absolutely need to make an impact. Now it's, again, being consistent. Nobody's going to be great 16 games, but again, being more consistent. Same thing for Preston Smith. Same thing I would argue for not everybody on that defense, but you know, most guys on that defense have to be consistent. And that includes even Josh Norman, who has struggled here the last 6 weeks, although he made that nice play in the end zone. Bashaud Breeland, everyone needs to be more consistent on this. Everyone just needs to be more consistent, period. It's just hard to achieve that. So I don't know how you do it other than more playing time, more coaching, more experience. And usually if guys work really hard, they get better as they go along at their craft. And I believe guys like Anthony Lanier and maybe to a lesser degree Preston Smith are going to continue to get better at their craft.
Thank you, buddy. Good catching up. And while I'm disappointed we don't have a couple more weeks to talk about the walk, I'm glad that you won't make it.
Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it. I'm very happy that I don't have to do that nonsense.
Let's talk hoops. Ben Standig writes about the Wiz, NBC Four here in town, NBC Washington. Of course, you can also check him out. Locked on the Wizards is his podcast. Last night, it was the Cleveland Cavaliers in town, and they came away with a 7-point win. How should I feel about the game?
You know what? I think it was a good chance to sort of look at the Wizards in comparison to the team that's been, you know, insanely hot. I think Cleveland's what won 17 of 18. LeBron James is really good. I know that's not breaking news, but that was proven again last night. And I think it was a game where the Wizards, if they put forth the type of effort they did last night, shorthanded without Otto Porter, but for start to finish, I think they were pretty good with their focus and effort. If they can do that against normal teams, they'll be fine. They've been up and down, which has been the issue. But ultimately last night, they just don't have enough to deal with Cleveland right now. Cleveland's playing out of their mind, especially LeBron. So, look, I think all you can really view it as hope that what we saw last night from the Wizards effort and focus-wise is what we get going forward. But right now, they're definitely not on Cleveland's level.
Yeah, there are three teams in the Eastern Conference, Boston, Cleveland, and Toronto, that are running away with it in terms of the top three seeds. Everyone else has muddled the game or two over 500. The Wizards don't look like they can compete with those top few teams, but most of the teams in the Eastern Conference don't, Ben. Why the inconsistency in your mind? What are you seeing that's kind of leading them to have some of these subpar efforts?
You know, you never want to make injuries an excuse and all that, but obviously it has been an issue. I mean, Marquise Morris, who is still not giving them nearly enough of what they need or what we saw from him a year ago, you know, he's been battling from surgery at the beginning of the year and then more recently a variety of injuries. John Wall, you know, yesterday was only his third game back from missing nine with that knee injury. Normally against Cleveland, I would bet John Wall plays 40 minutes. He only played 32 yesterday, and I think that's still a sign of them working his way back into it. So that's part of it. The other part is particular, I think, with the starting lineup, they just have got to bring it on the defensive end all the time. They just haven't been doing that consistently. The hope is with John Wall is back, that, you know, when he's really ready to go, this, you know, the head of the snake, as everybody likes to say, he energizes them defensively. That picks up everything else. The bench has been better, so if that starting lineup can get going, especially defensively, they should be fine. But it's 30 games of the season. We haven't quite seen that yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The Wall's health, obviously, is such a massive deal. What moves can they make? I've been arguing with – I get these discussions all the time with Wizards fans and otherwise, and they, you know, they're out there pining for that thing that can put them over the top so they can beat some of these top three teams. And I think they're stuck. I think Ernie has done an Ernie thing where he paints himself into a corner, then says, look, we're stuck in a corner. We can't do anything because of the Mahimi deal, et cetera. If you're going to give up something, it's got to be an Oubre or something that people want in addition to a first-round pick to unload Mahimi. I think they're kind of stuck, Ben, without doing something massive to take kind of a step back. What kind of things do you think they might be able to do, if anything?
I think you're right in the sense that they may be kind of stuck. I mean, look, there's always the first-round pick you can trade. But, look, they've done that three of the last 4 years. You know, at some point, you'd like to see them keep that, yeah. You know, just to have a young, cheap contract around with some potential. I think the best realistic hope is that when Wall and hopefully Morris get back to playing at normal strength, and now that the bench has been is looking a lot better over the last 10 or 12 games with Satoransky and Mike Scott, who continues to kill it, that in and of itself will be better than where they were a year ago. Let's not forget, the bench is miles better than it was last year when they won 49 games. So if the starters can get back to the level they were at, arguably the Wizards should be looking like a 49-win team or better. I think if in terms of what move can they make in terms of like a trade, I'm sort of curious to see what ultimately happens here with Marchand Gortat in the middle, because he's always been the guy who you can't trade Mahimi. He's been the one where his contract's not bad. He's usable. Can you move him, compare him with Oubre maybe, or, you know, Markieff Morris? His contract is very, very, very good for an NBA starting forward. So what can that get you? I'm not saying that's it in Boogie Cousins, but maybe that, you know, some combination of that gets you something more exciting to pair with Wall and Beal that really puts you over the top. But realistically, they probably just have to get help internally, get their starters healthy, and hopefully that's enough to get them back at least where they were a year ago.
Thank you, Ben. Always, great work on the Wizards. Check his content out at NBC's website in town, as well as Locked on the Wizards, his podcast. Zach Brown could be in a little warm water with the NFL. We'll tell you why next. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. So, Zach Brown said something that could get him in a little bit of trouble with the league. I'm going to tell you what he said in a minute, but first, the backstory. Davante Adams of the Green Bay Packers suffered a blow-up hit that ended his game with a concussion yesterday. You'll remember earlier this season, Davante Adams was crushed in a nationally televised September game with the Chicago Bears. I think it was Danny Trevathan at the time, the former Bronco.
Sounds right, yeah.
And you'll remember that we took calls, Danny, for like an hour the next day, because it was a nationally televised game, on whether or not he should be suspended, whether or not the hit was dirty. Remember, it was a lowering of the helmet, kind of crown of the helmet to the face mask of Adams. It was one of the dirtiest, worst hits of the year. You remember it?
Yeah, absolutely.
My first thought when Adams got hit is, oh my gosh, that's how a guy is going to end up dying on the field. Something like that. And I'm not making light of that. It was that scary when it happened. So this same guy who had that concussion earlier this season, after one of three Aaron Rodgers interceptions in his return yesterday, is completely destroyed on a play by Thomas Davis, who's a Pro Bowler. He's been a Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Great player, good dude.
Universally loved player who's come back from multiple knee surgeries. But after an interception, on a return, he turns and just completely annihilates Adams, who isn't looking, like blindside hits him up high. And it looked really bad, and it was probably unnecessary. Was probably dirty. It was something that shouldn't have happened, is what I would have said. Did you see the hit?
Yeah, so in days gone by, this is, you know, the dream. This is the dream shot. This
Absolutely.
Is what everybody in the film room is going nuts. Everyone's high-fiving, and we just know more now. We know that you didn't have to make that play. And I know there's a bunch of tough guys, internet-wise, that, you know, want this back in football. I guess. I don't know what to tell you. I don't. You don't need it. You can make a block without blowing the guy up. You could still do what you set out to do without blindsiding somebody to the point that they can't move and their brain is bruised. You could still get in the guy's way so he doesn't make the tackle. Blocking is still very much part of the game. There is no need for the kill shot. And that's what that was.
And that's what exactly what happened. He destroyed him, and he went up high, and it was helmet, maybe to helmet. The fact of the matter is, if you want to throw a block, you could do it. If you want to shove a guy out of the way, you could still do that. I don't even know that was entirely necessary on that return. Point is, Devontae Adams took to Twitter and said, "I will never understand it." This is earlier today. "The game is already dangerous enough, and we've got Pro Bowl players out here headhunting and saying, quote, they didn't mean to harm me, end quote. Thomas Davis of the Panthers responded to him." Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this. It was a pretty good response. Thomas Davis said, "I understand your frustration, and I do apologize for the hit. In no way was I trying to hurt you. My first instinct was to turn and make a block. In all sincerity, I do apologize. I truly respect you as a player, and I made a mistake." So you got a guy saying, "What are we doing here?" in Adams. You got the guy that hit him, Davis, saying, "I made a mistake. I'm sorry." And presumably if he gets suspended, he'll wear that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this story is done. Except that Devontae Adams said more about Thomas Davis, kind of when he said what he did on that tweet. And Pro Football Talk wrote up a story on Adams saying the game is dangerous enough without players headhunting.
Sure.
So they just took his tweet and made a post. Redskins linebacker Zach Brown responded to Pro Football Talk online, added them in their story about what Devontae Adams said, that players shouldn't be headhunting. And Zach Brown tweeted, "Tell him don't play because I'm always headhunting."
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that will get Zach Brown into a lot of trouble with the league.
Yeah, it will.
It also makes no sense because let's say this is how you feel. If you see that as a linebacker who was born and bred and put on this planet to go make 150 tackles a season,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you feel, you're inevitably at some point going to have a hit and a bang-bang play at some point with the game as fast as it is, where the league's going to have to determine whether to kick you out or whether to suspend you perhaps. And all they need to see now is this tweet where you're talking about being a headhunter.
Big old target now on 53.
Why are you doing that?
There's no upside to it. I get that this is a world still, and it's foreign to regular folks who've got cubicles and commutes, and you and me, you know, in our little microphones where our biggest amount of adversity is like a little bit of dust on our desks that we clean with wet naps. It's a different mentality that these guys have because their bodies are on the line, and Zach Brown's someone that probably should shut it down, but didn't yet because he still wants to play and loves the game so much, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a different mindset that most people can't relate to. That said, you still got to know better than to do this. It could just be tough talk. It could be locker room talk. It could be the bravado of a guy that has to believe he's invincible to go out there and do what he does on a weekly basis. That said, not in this current climate. I'm not like furious at Zach Brown. I'm not going to do the, you know, over the top Stephen A. Smith. He should be truncated. He's embarrassing.
Leave
I'm not
that
doing any
for
of that.
Skip Bayless.
I'm not doing any of that crap. What I am saying is not a great look right now this minute. I probably wouldn't be tweeting that, given, of course, the letters that come every Monday or Tuesday morning from the league and the amount of money that has to leave your bank account. There are commas in that, dude. You know what I mean? You're going to have to pay an awful lot of money next time it happens.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'd go one step further, though. Doesn't this in some way symbolize or signify that there is still a massive and dramatic disconnect?
Yes.
Between the league's attempts to make the game safer and to take some of these hits out of the game and the way the players actually feel about it?
That is correct.
Because I feel like we talk all the time about where we are in terms of making the game safer and where we can go from here and will the game be around in 20 years. And fill in the blank topic about head trauma and concussions. And you've got the NFL's leading tackler. This is not just some dude. This is an all-pro a year ago, who I don't know if he'll be one this year in the conference, but certainly was playing at a Pro Bowl level and probably was on his way to a Pro Bowl before missing yesterday's game, and we'll see if he ends up getting to the Pro Bowl. But he may end up leading the National Football League in tackles, meaning no one has had more collisions with ball carriers and gotten him to the ground than him this season in this sport. And he is unaware completely just of the perception that this comment will be perceived in a terrible way in light by fans.
Yeah.
He's clearly unaware of the climate, well, of the temperature.
I would say less by fans and more by the league.
Well, fine. You're right. Fans, the league, the media, doesn't matter.
Right.
The outside perception of the NFL and the peril that it is in, basically, which might be overstated. I think to some extent that it is. I was talking to someone yesterday at FedEx Field, who was in the media, who said we may not have games to cover in 20 years. I don't really believe that for a second.
I've always never believed that. By
the way. I think that that is completely hyperbolic and nonsensical and just silly. But my point is, that's out there, and a guy like Zach Brown either doesn't know or cares so little about that that he'll tweet something like that. It shows kind of a lack of...
Disconnect is the right word.
Understanding of where we are here.
Disconnect is definitely the right word, where the league takes all this pride and this emphasis and player safety and, you know, everything's collectively bargained and we meet about this and that and the other thing. And then when the rubber meets the road, when you're left in an independent moment, all the teaching and all the explanations, that's how far it's gotten, is, yeah, I'm still out here to wreck blank. I'm still out here to take people's heads off, et cetera. You know? And it's, I don't want to say it's unfortunate, but it still shows one group that, you know, they're wearing their suits, they're in New York, and they're trying to govern and legislate everything. You got 1,700 people that you're trying to get to pull a rope in the same direction.
Just good
it's
luck.
Never going to happen.
Let's take some calls, get some thoughts on this from you guys. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067 on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. Zach Brown tweeting to keep Davante Adams off the field then, because I'll always be headhunting, basically. We'll also get back into the Skins beating the Cardinals 20-15 and how they got it done. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Going to blow up when you respond to Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
Zach Brown says, tell him to stay off the field because I'm always headhunting. When Adams, who got a concussion yesterday, was saying that a Carolina Panthers linebacker, Thomas Davis, did something he shouldn't have done. And Davis apologized and said, you're right, I'm sorry. And then Zach Brown jumps in and says, yeah, well, I'm always going to be headhunting, so don't play.
Yeah, it's a tough game. Everyone's aware of it. You know, it's the, you know, because I always get a little irritated at the hyperbolic, you know, pearl-clutching, snarky super media that's like, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Deadspin published an article that, like, the Army-Navy game shouldn't happen. And it's all these weird mental gymnastics permutations about why this has nothing to do with anything. It's just a wonderful, wonderful tradition that should always continue and everyone should be so happy about it because it's great theater. It means a lot to so many people. So I get irritated.
Why don't they
at that
want
voice.
The game to happen?
Hey, but just saw, you know, they gave a guy a platform, and of course it was snarky, and of course everybody, you know, who likes it is a caveman, and everyone who supports football is a bad person, and
right.
You have to make this mental bargain with yourself, and it's the game shouldn't be played at all, and it's obsolete, and it has nothing to do with warfighter readiness, which was supposed to be the point of the service academies. It was an overwrought,
it's just a nice celebration of the military.
Exactly. It's an overwrought, like, hand wringing type article, and that's. That pulse is the loudest, the shrillest, that if a big hit happens in football, they should cancel everything for everybody at all times. The counter to that is, a lot of times, you don't want to be on the guy that's, hey, man, these are gladiators. If they die on the field, so what? I don't want to be in that camp either. It's possible to walk the line here kind of in the middle. So I guess I sort of end up wanting some of what makes this game great, but also acknowledging, hey, let's do what we can to make it safer. My consciousness has changed over the last decade plus, where I go, you know what? You don't need to do that, Thomas Davis, and so is his. But there's always going to be that element of, you know, whatever it takes out there, this is a man's game, quote unquote.
Yeah, for me, I'm just going to keep this directly to the Zach Brown comment and not even look into the bigger, broader issues here. This is unnecessary for Zach Brown to say. There's no reason to engage, even if you feel this way. Why put a target on your back for the officials? Put a target on your back for the league in terms of suspensions or ejections? Why acknowledge to anyone publicly that you're a guy who doesn't buy in on quote-unquote making the game safer, and even give the perception, which probably isn't all that accurate, that you're out there hunting heads for the next time in a fast game where you're inevitably going to be involved in a controversial hit? Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Let's go to Jimmy in Fredericksburg on the Fan. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
Well, I think everything needs to go back to fundamentals, like the old hit, rap, tackle. People are making these high headhunting hits. And granted, they're doing it for highlight reels and they're doing it for bonuses. If you go back to what the Saints used to do back in, what, the early 2000s, but it's not part of the game. You don't go out there to hurt somebody. You go out there to tackle them for a loss. You don't jump passes. They taught you that in Pee Wee. These guys have played football all their lives. There's no sense in going that high. And as for Zach Brown, there's no why would you go that high?
Well, I mean, Zach Brown didn't
go that high,
play. In fairness.
He's saying he would next time, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's the point. Why would you say that, I guess, is the better critique. But in terms of the caller's point, he's probably correct. I think that the number of just big hits for hit's sake have gone down in the league, though. Like guys like Sean Taylor, even DJ Swearinger with the Redskins. Go back and watch him a few years ago when he was with the Houston Texans. Just demolishing people in the middle of the field.
Guys have had to adjust.
Deshaun Goldson is not right now playing in the NFL that I know of, but a few years ago was just out there as a missile, just destroying players, one hit to the helmet after another. Dante Whitner wanted to put his name as Hitner on the back of his jersey at one point. That was kind of the culture. Deshaun Taylor was celebrated for the way that he crushed guys in the middle of the field, and now he'd be viewed as someone who would be flagged all the time
yep.
and was quote-unquote dirty, even if he wasn't. He was just playing the game really hard. So the game's changed a lot, and I don't think there are as many big hits as there used to be. I think the tackling and the target has gotten lower and better over the last couple of years. Let's go to Earl in D.C. What's up, Earl?
Hey, Earl.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Robert.
I feel like, honestly, it's not just one. Anytime the defensive player that actually committed the hit is apologizing, why are you even speaking up, honestly? And what you don't understand is that it's not only is he sending a flag to the league looking for it, now he might be sending a flag to other offensive players because Devontae Adams is a good – he's one of those nice guys. He's not one of those diva receivers. He's actually a nice guy. So you might see other offensive players looking to headhunt on Zach Brown, you know, a la Juju Smith-Houston versus Devontae Burfict to go, yeah, now you see how that feels? Now stop talking about headhunting because we can headhunt you too. So
yeah,
he might be looking for a blindside.
You open yourself up. And I think that's kind of the point here. By the way, still a Zach Brown fan, pointing two thumbs at myself. Still want the Redskins to sign
Love
that dude long term, and I want him to be a Pro Bowl player here for many years where he leads the world in tackles and flies around and does all the good things.
He was their best player on defense this season.
I would tend to agree with that. To me, this is one of those, because I like you so much. If I didn't care about Zach Brown, I'd be like, you dummy, whatever. I care about Zach Brown. I want Zach Brown here, and I want him to not bring any unnecessary things upon himself. And he would tell you, probably, if we had him on right now, I could probably take it. I'm a grown man. I can deal with these guys trying to come at me. And that's all well and good. This is a Bill Parcells-type axiom here. What's the upside? What's the benefit? What do you gain from this? You know, maybe a couple guys retweeting you being like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Tough talk from a tough man. Okay, that's cute. But when the rubber meets the road, best case, it's not that big a deal. Worst case, now your fine is worse because people think of you that way now. Your reputation changes. And there's not as much benefit these days to being that kind of player.
I just don't know why engage. This wasn't involving
right.
you. If he made this comment after he made that hit yesterday, let's say he was Thomas Davis and mm-hmm. that was a Redskins-Packers game, and he had the exact same opportunity to destroy Devontae Adams, and he did it. And then Adams came out and said, this guy's a Pro Bowler, and he did that to me. And then he came back at him and said, listen, man, I'm always headhunting. I would still say, wow, that was a silly thing to say. But at least you're involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't. So you basically just thrust yourself into a discussion you didn't need to be involved in, and you only hurt yourself in terms of the way the league and officials are going to monitor you moving forward. Grant and Danny on the Fan will go around the NFL next. At 1 o'clock, you're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, who was on the show earlier today right here on 106.7 The Fan. If you missed Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny earlier today, you will want to hear what he had to say at 1 o'clock. Some of the more important items covered were his conversation with us about Jay Gruden being under scrutiny, the coaching staff, whether or not they should come back. He talked about wanting continuity. Also, we discussed the catch rule with him, and you even asked him, our fan question, I believe, was on the
Derek Carr fumble situation.
Fumbling out of the end zone,
which, again, makes no sense, and if you like it, apologize to me.
I don't like it. So do I have to apologize?
You don't have to do anything because you've done nothing wrong. If you enjoy the fumble out of the end zone is a different than any other fumble, it's treated differently, then you don't make sense. Your whole life needs to be reorganized and reprioritized. It is the least sensible rule we have. It doesn't make any sense. I just need you to acknowledge that. As soon as you do that, live your life, go about your day. Just know that it makes no sense.
All right, let's get around the NFL. Some of the games we have not yet covered that were interesting yesterday. Aaron Rodgers came back for the Packers. They lose in Carolina. Panthers hosting them in Charlotte. Cam Newton, 4 touchdowns. One of the coolest things I've ever seen is a video that came out of this game.
This is everything.
Because
I love
of the field mics, we can kind of hear the cadences of quarterbacks under center. Well, what we could also hear is Cam Newton's in the gun, and he's kind of barking things out. And you can hear Clay Matthews yelling, watch the wheel route, as he's pointing at Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. And Cam Newton looks at him and says, oh, you've been watching that film, huh? And Clay Matthews goes, yeah. And Cam Newton goes, oh, cool. Watch this. Hut. And he gets the ball and throws it directly to Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown.
Not a wheel route, something that looked like the wheel route, but it was nothing. Now, had they run the wheel route, it would have worked as well because no one covered Christian McCaffrey. That's not the point. The point is there was S talking right up until the time of the snap, and it was brilliant. And
oh,
it's
that's
amazing.
Cool, huh? Watch this. Aaron Rodgers threw 3 interceptions, had 3 touchdowns. Not the fairy tale, as he put it after the game, that he and his teammates were hoping for as he came back.
Yeah, I'm going to go out of order just because this game was too important. The whole world was watching this thing. This was the marquee, most important game of the season, and it was everything that we expected. Pittsburgh and New England in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, quite frankly, got jobbed. I don't understand how you can figure out that that's not a catch. The ball crossed the plane in the guy's hands. Next thing you know, it's not a catch. Whatever. Ben Roethlisberger goes on to do the fake spike bit that everyone in the world saw coming. He throws a bad pickle. Game over. Big story from this game, of course, is that New England snatched the victory from the jaws of defeat, trailing 24-16 with just over 3.5 minutes left. They get the ball back, go down and score. But the injury to Antonio Brown, that might have altered things depending on how serious it is. It was a calf bruise, so we'll see what happens there. Rob Gronkowski, 150 yards basically in the second half. He was outstanding in this game. These were the two best teams in the NFL going at it. I can't wait to watch the rematch in a couple months.
And from the top two teams in the AFC to the third best team, the Jaguars, who destroyed Mr. O'Brien's Texans. And Mr. O'Brien is having a rough go of it right now and could be out of a job. 45-7, the score. 31-0 at halftime, Jacksonville beating up on Houston, now 4-10. The Jags are 10-4. Blake Bortles, don't look now, but suddenly playing pretty good football. 7 touchdowns, no interceptions in the last 3 games, and he's thrown for over 300 yards twice in that time, with Jacksonville scoring 30, 30, and 45 points. He has strung together the 3 best games of his season. You know their defense is going to dominate you. Gave up just 7 points. 2 more sacks for Calais Campbell, who's over 15 for the year. As a team, they had 4 in the game. They allowed 9 first downs and 186 net yards. Jacksonville's no joke.
I'm going to try an exercise with you. Just hear me out on this. Nick Foles has played pretty well in Philadelphia. He had that 27-touchdown, 2-pick season. Played pretty well the other yesterday against the Giants. Philly's defense all of a sudden couldn't stop anybody. But Nick Foles played pretty well. When filling in for Alex Smith, he played pretty well. Case Keenum is playing pretty well in Minnesota. Why do we think both those guys aren't any good? Who did they play for? What do they have in common?
Really good teams?
Well, they both played previously for the Rams, and they didn't play well for the Rams. Who was the coach of the Rams at that point?
Jeff Fisher.
Who was their offensive coordinator, a guy that you'll probably never get a job again? We now see what the Rams are with an adult.
Those guys also stunk in other places, too. It's a pretty big leap.
Here's what I got. Guys that have played well outside of the Rams,
yeah,
in 2 different cases. And then I've got guys that are playing poorly with the Rams and are toxic stains that apparently can't get it done.
I'm just saying Nick Foles had 3 seasons with the Eagles, 2 of which were, he played half the year, and his quarterback rating was around 80. It's not like he just went to the Rams and was bad for the first time.
Largest time as a starter, he was good in Philadelphia, yeah. I would say. Was at least a
like
a plus.
Case Keenum, when you're okay, which is what Nick Foles is, and Case Keenum is, you're going to be really good at times and really bad at times.
My exercise is basically this. Jeff Fisher and everyone who coached on that staff should never coach again.
Hey, you go out of your way as often as possible to talk about Jeff Fisher sucking.
I do.
Which is fine. I'm just saying maybe those guys aren't as good as you're making them out to be also.
No one's saying they're world beaters. What I am saying is you go to L.A. or you go to St. Louis, you coach with that junior varsity coaching staff, you look worse.
Are you going to talk about the game from yesterday or just Jeff Fisher, who hasn't been in football all year?
I was trying to get into it.
Okay.
And here's what happened. Nick Foles played pretty well, and they beat the New York Giants. The defense all of a sudden for the Eagles doesn't look like the Eagles group that we're used to seeing. A couple straight games now, they haven't really been able to stop anybody. Eli Manning had a massive game. It was some heroics, though, from the Eagles offense, able to pull out a victory. They got themselves some home field.
Speaking of your boy, Case Keenum, he was good again yesterday. 3 incompletions all game. Just an efficient, unspectacular, do-everything-right kind of game. He was, for Minnesota yesterday, basically what Kirk Cousins was for the Redskins, if you just imagine everyone around him being a little bit better. 20 of 23, 236, and 2 for Case Keenum. Jerick McKinnon went for a bill through the air. Stephon Diggs caught 5 balls, including a 20-yard touchdown for Minnesota. And their defense dominated the Bengals. Andy Dalton was intercepted twice. A.J. McCarron came off the bench to complete 50% of his passes. The Bengals fumbling the ball all over the place as well. Ech, is all I could say about Cincinnati.
I hope, and I usually don't root for these sorts of things, but hear me out. I hope the Jets make a mistake and let Todd Bowles go. Then I hope that the Redskins pounce and bring him into their organization in some capacity. This was a fight yesterday. The New Orleans Saints had a late touchdown run for Mark Ingram to ice this thing. The Jets on the road in a game that New Orleans had to have. The Jets are now 1-6 away from the Meadowlands, whatever you call that stupid stadium now. Gave New Orleans everything they could handle with Bryce Petty at quarterback, having a Bryce Petty-like day. This was a hard-fought one score at the end game. The Jets couldn't recover an onside kick. New Orleans then running up the clock ends up. Mark Ingram has a long touchdown run to kind of change the course of his day. But goodness gracious. I like Todd Bowles an awful lot. We're talking about these things in town here with Jay Gruden. What do these guys show down the stretch? The Jets have been out of it since the beginning of the season. And here they are, chopping wood, punching away. They leave Muhammad Wilkerson at home because he's late to a team meeting for the 57,000th time, apparently. And yet, there they are, competing with a team that we know is pretty good at home, the New Orleans Saints. They win 31-19, but tip of the cap to the old New York football Jets.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, dude. I think Bowles is a pretty good coach, and he's a really good coordinator, and he is far from a problem for them. He has helped them a lot, if anything, be competitive this season. Kirk Cousins was on the show at 1. You will hear what he had to say to us next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.